It's August the 22nd, 2008. I'm Mike Benedetti, and this is 508, a show about whiskey. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the 508 show. Today, we have on the telephone Jeff Barnard and Brendan Melican in the studio, Ann Lewenberg and Colin Novick. Very exciting, kind of a funky recording format. We'll see how it works. I really, really wanted to have Bruce Russell on the program today, and maybe later we'll be able to get him on, because I think the top story of the week, unquestionably, is the fact that we went to see Motorhead last Friday at the Palladium, and it was mind-blowing, as Bruce would say. But, absent that, probably the top story is the bug hunt in Worcester, and that's why Colin and Ann are here, because they are from the Greater Worcester Land Trust. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
So what's the situation with these Asian longhorn beetles?
Well, we don't know yet. Okay. They've been here at least 5 to 7 years. They at least occupy most of Upper Worcester and Holden, West Boylston, and Shrewsbury. And we'll only know after we start to look. And no one's started looking until recently, probably within the last month.
And the feds are, is it the feds who are looking?
Yes.
The state is looking?
U.S. Department of Agriculture, the feds are here. They arrive daily. There are more by the moment. They have a base of operations up at the National Guard Armory, which sounds like slightly disturbing, unless you actually realize it's also the Parks Department headquarters.
Oh, okay. So what's the worst case scenario from these Asian longhorn beetles?
Worst case scenario would be it would be that they've been here long enough to start to move up the forested tracks into the White Mountains and Green Mountains. So okay. A worst case scenario would be that Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Vermont have a maple industry and a foliage industry, which is at the edge of teetering at the edge of collapse. That would be absolute worst case scenario.
Okay.
And that's why they're wigged out, because always these little occurrences happen in like suburban communities where there are practically no trees, or urban communities where there are practically no trees. We actually have forest here, and we're connected to big forest, so that has them a little bit shaken up.
Okay.
So, hey, Colin. Colin, can I ask you a real quick question?
Sure.
You are the very first person who is not an elected official behind closed doors, or some, you know, like, you're the first person I know that actually knows the difference between, say, like a maple tree and an oak tree, that has actually recognized that this has probably gone on longer than the 2 months or so that the city has publicly acknowledged so far. Is there actually any public record that will show that the city of Worcester has, on some level, known that strange giant beetles have been here for longer than 2 or 3 months?
No. In fact, the city of Worcester didn't know, and that's been somewhat problematic in terms of the way we handle yard waste and the way we deal with getting rid of hazard trees. The thing that we've discovered is they did a biopsy of one of the worst trees down at Kendrick Field.
Okay.
And through that, they were able to figure out that there were 5 to 7 generations of beetles that had been in that worst-case tree. The beetles aren't, they're not the worst kind of insect on Earth. They actually only go through one reproductive cycle a year. So you can actually track how long they've been in that tree.
They, one of the first news stories that came, was published on the Telegram, actually, one of the residents with apparently beetles in her yard that there was being interviewed made it sound like she had reported them in the past. I'll try and dig up a link to that so Mike can put in the show notes, but it was essentially neighbors saying, oh, these things have been here for a while now. It was the way that it came across, and it could have just been a poor quote. But I've heard other people say as well that, you know, it is possible that reports were made to the city, and that the city kind of didn't do anything because we don't have, like, a real forestry department. We've got a sign on the door.
I know that it's possible that we know that the people have seen the beetles for years, and in fact, once we started talking about it, most of us in the office are pretty sure that at one point in time or another we've seen the beetle, but we never really thought anything particularly of it. I mean, it's just a really neat-looking beetle. You don't necessarily think harbinger of doom when you end up seeing a little black beetle on the sidewalk.
Sure, it doesn't have a skull or anything on the back.
That's right. And there are no pinchers to make it look like it's wicked or, you know, should be on a heavy metal t-shirt.
I've heard some people say that on a municipal level that with the amount of I guess, trees that we have in, like, green space that we have in the city, that since we do take in some grant money for forestry programs and whatnot, that the city actually should have, at some point in time, if it's been 7 years, maybe identified that there was a problem going on, especially
if there were potential complaints. You need to be an entomologist to understand which beetles are dangerous and which ones aren't. You know, you'd really have
I'm
to
neither an arborist nor an entomologist. I'm just a commentator.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get back to what people are doing about the Beatles. So now the reason I contacted you guys was I had seen the ad saying talk to you guys if you wanted to volunteer to work on this. What are people doing?
Well, what they're doing right now is trying to figure out where are the Beatles. And then once we have the first hard frost, they're going to start removing trees. So right now, everyone's in overdrive to figure out how far have the Beatles gotten, where are the Beatles, how large an area is affected. And then once it gets to the hard frost, USDA, the state through its DCR, which is the forest folk, and the city of Worcester, and a whole bunch of hired contractors are going to go out and just start whacking trees.
Okay.
But they have to wait till after the first hard frost, otherwise you end up spreading the beetles.
Mm-hmm.
So right now everybody's in overdrive trying to figure out where are they, how far have they gotten, which trees are affected, and then we'll spend most of the winter starting like phase one of beetle roundup.
Okay. So people at this point can come to the Greater Worcester Land Trust. Can you guys show people how to find them?
What we're doing is we've talked to the USDA, and we've also been doing a lot of research ourselves, and they're going to help us to do a training session where we can get people to the point where they can identify a tree that's infested and how to mark the tree and how to report the tree. One of the things that's complicated is if you're dealing with this in an urban or suburban area, trees are simple. They're standing out all alone. When you go out into the forest, if you go to Nick's Woods over by 122A, or if you're going over to the Bevensey Conservation Park, it's swamp, it's brush, it's thicket, and you got a lot of trees in there that are close together. Identifying there is going to be really hard, but we have the most to lose.
Okay.
So we want to identify the trees as quickly as possible in those dense forested tracts.
You mean we being the land trust have the most?
The community of Worcester.
Okay.
That's our community forest.
Right, right. And so what's the worst case, what's the worst case scenario for the city of Worcester then?
I don't know.
We end up losing half the trees in the forest?
More than that. Our street trees are 80% maple.
Okay.
So we're going to end up losing a lot of street trees.
And those are really the vulnerable, of the common trees, those are the most vulnerable.
They're the preferred.
Okay. Okay. And what else, and you said that there was going to be some tree replacement possibly for lost trees also. Was that like a second phase kind of operation?
Yeah, that's much further on. After they've gotten done doing all the identifying, doing tons of removal, then they're going to swing back in again and do replantings. But the problem is we think they'll do replantings on private property, and we're trying to figure out to what extent they'll do replantings along the streets and municipal property. The federal government is very sensitive to individual taxpayers being angry.
Right, like you took my tree, and even though it was infested with this dangerous beetle, you still took my damn tree.
And that's where they're probably going to be most responsive to putting new trees in. But that's like, when we're talking after eradication, we're talking like 5 years, 7 years out that they'll start doing the replanting.
Okay.
But the thing we'll have to ride herd on is them replacing street trees, the ones that we all share, the community trees, and the ones that are on park properties, that sort of thing.
Okay.
We're going to make sure that we hold them to that.
All right. Did you guys have any other questions for these guys on this issue?
Well, there was a post on the Greater Worcester Land Trust regarding a need for volunteers.
Yeah, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking the conservation land and putting it into sort of quadrants of trees and parts of the forest so that we can look at each tree and have volunteers go out with us after they've been trained to look for the beetles in each part of the conservation lands so that we can move forward with this faster than we'd be able to do if we were just relying on the USDA to look at all of our trees. Because they have to look at the whole city of Worcester, the whole and outlying areas that are in the quarantine zone. And right now, we have about somewhere between, 700, 800 acres of forest that's in conservation restriction or in land trust ownership right now. And so we want to get a head start on that as quickly as possible. So we really need people to step up and to offer their time to go and look at those trees with us.
Cool. Do you guys have any other bug-related stuff? if not before these guys have to go, I wanted to mention the King Street Block Party. And have you been involved in planning for this King Street
Block
Party?
Not really.
You don't know? All right. Anyway, well, I bring it up then. There's a big block party tomorrow at Stone Soup. Or not at Stone Soup, near Stone Soup, all in the section of King Street near Main Street. They're starting it off with a march against youth violence. Actually, I guess they're starting off with a basketball tournament, then a march against youth violence. And sometime around 4 o'clock, they're going to have a block party proper. Have you been to this before?
I have. Last year I went. It was wonderful. Tons of people, tons of activities, tons of food. It's very fun.
I'm mostly going to this thing to table. I was reading this thing about effective tabling, and it said, don't sit down, stand up. So I'm really pumped to try this technique and see if it materially affects my table. I'm going to table for like 4 organizations. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'll have my reporter there, so if people listen to the podcast are there, please stop by and I can talk to you for the podcast. Do you guys have to go? Can you hang around for a couple more minutes?
We can hang for a couple minutes.
All right. So what else do I got on my list here? I got the Motorhead thing, obviously. I got the vendors. I got Worcester Magazine. I got a WCCA thing Jeff wanted to talk about. What do you guys want to go for next?
Colin, what's the mood like up at the offices of Worcester Magazine?
Stunned.
Stunned?
There's a lot of stunned and a lot of nervous laughter.
Because the Land Trust, you guys are like shared office space with Worcester Magazine?
We do. The day it was announced was very hard for me to actually get anything effectively done. There was enough sort of emotional tumultuousness in the building where I myself, while not working for Worcester Magazine, was rendered ineffective.
Yeah, it's a pretty big shock, Hank, to find out the company you work for is being sold.
It is. Jeff, I know that you have, I don't know, You were a naysayer on this. You felt like it was a bad deal that they were getting sold.
Well, that was my initial reaction, and I still feel that the chain ownership of local newspapers is not a good thing. But the further away the chain owner is, the worse it is. And this one is apparently based in Holden, so it may not be quite as bad, but you still have the need. You know, it's like when you commodify anything, like housing, you know, as soon as it becomes a commodity and people just buy them up, they have to realize they have to squeeze more money out of it in order to justify the investment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem, you know, that's the bad part. The good part is that people are saying good things about this guy, Gareth Charter. I don't know who he is or what he's about, but we'll find out. The other thing that's really hard to take is that, you know, he's buying the banner, and the employees don't come with it. So they're losing their jobs, all of them, and then he's going to decide who he hires. And that's real tough. I mean, I've worked for companies that were sold. I sat at the same desk of one company that was sold twice, so I had 3 different employers, even though I had the same desk. But they always brought the employees on. You know, they didn't rehire you. But this arrangement here is scary. It just has to be, you know, sleepless nights for all those guys over at WOMAG.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just as a consumer of local media, it's kind of funny when, you know, I think just on this little program alone, we've criticized enough the amount of direction local media takes from the suburbs. And to see the suburbs are now actually buying our local media. I mean, they're not just, you know, directing conversation in terms of like commenting systems or letters to the editor. They're actually taking over, which is says a lot about the city and, you know, how solid our media system is around here.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Sean Suttner, in his article on this, mentioned that magazines like Worcester Magazine were under increasing pressure from online sources of news and entertainment directories. Do you guys have any idea what he was talking about?
None whatsoever. He
was
made
he talking about like Facebook?
I think it's just a strange perception they have over the TNG.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure that college... I don't even know who the core audience of Worcester Magazine is. Do you guys have a sense of...
Well, I'm sure it was identified when they started the magazine, but it's changed so much over the years. That's one of the things that they were doing well within the last maybe 18 months or so, what was actually refocusing and recultivating essentially a new demographic. And that seemed to be showing pretty well through their advertising revenue that they were starting to do something right. But probably
who do you think their new demographic was?
18 to 34 year old people in this.
It's become a much younger younger demographic than it started out with.
Okay. So I guess that's what I'm wondering. I mean, I've talked to several people this week, you know, who are like recent graduates or college students, and they were like, oh yeah, you know, we mostly get our stuff through Facebook and email and whatnot. And that's why, again, I was just wondering what he was talking about. Like, I was like, is there this amazing source of online news and information locally that like I'm somehow totally unaware of that's competing with Worcester Magazine?
Yes, you're too old.
I don't know. I guess I'm out of the loop.
We're just not going to tell you where that source is.
It's Indie Media.
It's Worcester Indie Media. It's that one post a month on Indie Media that keeps it ahead of the curve. So there you go on Worcester Magazine. I want to put out a challenge to you guys and also all journalists in the city of Worcester. I defy you to say something new and interesting about the vendor debate. Can you guys step up?
No, I'm actually really annoyed with the whole thing now. I'm almost willing to like switch sides and like I single-handedly start shutting down all of the vendors just to make
just
it
to spice things up.
It's so mind-numbing. It's really, really sad. I spent more personal time this week, you know, just fielding volleys from crazy people online and in person.
I saw that Bill Randall had a blog post that had something like 54 comments.
Yeah, and it was just the craziest stuff in the world. I have not dealt with people like that are so worked up over. Yeah, I don't know. It's a mess. I want a sandwich. That's all.
Not on this.
Yeah. Gotta have our hot dogs.
Man, well, so people should know. You know, it was a close vote, and basically one at-large counselor, Joe Petty, voted for, you know, essentially driving street vendors out of Worcester, and almost all the district councilors did. So if you want to send Joe Petty a letter or give him a phone call, or probably your district counselor, send him a letter or a phone call. Just got to get one person. I guess ideally you would get two people to switch so that there wouldn't be a front page headline saying Joe Petty flip-flops on vital vendor debate or whatever.
Well, I do have something new to suggest about this ordinance.
What is that?
Well, I think that once the ordinance goes into effect, there should be a citywide act of civil disobedience where we get all the kids to set up lemonade stands.
There you go. I hadn't thought about the lemonade stand issue.
Yeah.
You know, these kids have been setting up some lemonade stands on Highland Street recently.
Yeah.
In front of the little boutique there, in front of Sorry Weaving.
15 minutes.
There's no exception for lemonade stands.
I bet the boy would be interested to hear about that.
Yeah, there's an exception for the farmer's market. Those guys don't have to get licensed. So there's a specific exception. But there's no... I looked. I actually read the thing that Scott put online,
uh-huh.
You know, the synopsis of the ordinance, to see if there was any exception for lemonade stands and kids. And there isn't. So, you know, there should be a citywide act of civil disobedience as often as possible. You know, see what they do about it.
That's not a bad idea. Well, I know that there's definitely organized, you know, people working on, you know, lobbying the counselors and whatever. So at this point, there are still, I think, there are things short of a lemonade stand that you can do.
Just because you're eight years old doesn't mean you should be exempt from being a revenue generating cash cow for the city of Worcester, though. So maybe
we can
have a lemonade stand amendment that, you know, $10-$15, nothing much, but it'll secure your spot for the year, and we can pull in a couple bucks, probably more than your average.
That's only if no neighbors object.
I want to read the In-City Times real quick. This is probably our most favorite feature on the show. Really nothing in the In-City Times this week. Stuff about the pools. I don't know. Did you guys read anything amazing in the In-City Times this week?
I haven't read this yet.
I try to avoid reading it.
There's two. You really? Do you not like the In-City Times?
Not a fan.
Brendan hates the In-City Times. I love the In-City Times.
There's lots of nice pictures this week from the old days.
There's two letters from PETA this week in the In-City Times. I think that's kind of badass, actually. Jack Hoffman's written a letter to Barack Obama. I don't know. Other than that, not a whole heck of a lot in this week's In-City Times.
Well, there's a lot of nice pictures of from the old...
Yeah, this Burtonberg's Worcester article about vintage postcards of the city. is a nice one.
Yeah.
Are they rack cards? Is that what they have a collection of? Like the old rack cards and this?
No, it's his personal collection of photos.
American Steel and Wire Co., Southworks, Worcester, Massachusetts. Adams and Powers, Windows, Frames, and Blinds. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I have a really bad habit of buying rack cards that I can find online on eBay, like old Worcester postcards and whatnot. There's tons of them floating around out there.
What are these?
Yeah, like postcards, but they're used to be called rack cards, and there are collections. Almost every city has used to put out like cityscape, like some of them are like Kodachrome type photographs, some of them are paintings and whatnot, and they're just little postcards. So I've got a collection of like what old Lincoln Square used to look like, and I love seeing the ones that have the like the light rail trails that tracks that used to run throughout the city. And there, if you hop on eBay and just search for like Worcester rack cards, you're gonna get like hundreds of really, really great cityscapes that you wouldn't even recognize it as being Worcester anymore because, well, after 290 came along, everything was changed. None of this exists anymore. It's really great to see how awesome the city looked 100 years ago.
Cool. We should mention that if people want to volunteer with the Greater Worcester Land Trust to hunt bugs,
they should call us at 508-795-3838, or you can email me at ann@gwlt.org.
Can we sign up on this show?
Like, sure.
Okay, yeah, so get in touch, Colin, if you need anything.
Will do, sir.
Jeff, you wanted to mention something connected to WCCA, which I should be paying attention to, but I'm not. Did you want to run over that issue?
Yeah, the Cable Advisory Committee on, I believe it was the 19th, passed a report, voted and passed on a report that they didn't have copies of. And I'm still waiting to see if Morrow DePasquale will be posting that he's received it, but apparently he hasn't received it yet. And someone commented on the website that it may be a violation of open meeting laws. So
it's a violation. It seems like it should be a violation of something. Like how do you have a public agency, whatever you want to call it? How do you have a commission like forward something to the city manager without anyone physically
seeing? Yeah, this is just another in a long line of dodges and evasions that just really appears pretty loopy.
Maybe they just figured if that's how Congress does things that, they might as well just follow lead, right? I mean, nobody actually reads stuff anymore.
That's the way things are done today,
I don't know. Well, I want to thank Ann and Colin for coming in and talking about the bugs. Is there anything that you guys are excited about in the city this week? Anything that you're enthusiastic about in Worcester? This week, this month?
There's the block party that you've already mentioned.
The block party is going to be great. Do you know the Hang Your Creative Laundry thing at Elm Park last week? Did you get to drive by and see that?
I was in South Dakota. Sorry.
All right.
Also this afternoon, if this is out by this afternoon, around 4 o'clock, there's a block party on Holly Street that the Pleasant Street Neighborhood Network Center is organizing. So folks can
get out there. This one of these deals where they shut down Holly Street.
Yep.
And then there's the Canal Fest downtown that'll be happening at the beginning of September. And that's kind of neat. And it's about as close as Worcester gets to having like a town fair. It's sort of just a weird, random, generic sampling of different people and organizations. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of fun.
Oh, Jacob Berendez is continuing to tape the Cosby Show this weekend at HBML. People can go by before the block party perhaps tomorrow or before the Holly Street block party today, Friday, and be part of that. And he'll probably do it for another week or two at the rate it's going. I wanted to mention this Hang Your Creative Laundry thing because it was really, really awesome. Like, I would give it a 10 out of 10. I don't know how it could have gone better. Hundreds and hundreds of people came by during the day to contribute, to make little items and then hang them up from these very decorative laundry lines in Elm Park, and it was a 12-hour thing. They started setting up at 7 a.m. and they started tearing down at 5 and had everything out by 7 p.m. People did great stuff, and somebody had pointed out online that it was too bad that it wasn't held on a weekend when people could have actually gone. And my take on it is, I mean, it would be great if 365 days a year there was a really impressive public art thing, so that it wouldn't have to be on a weekend. If you had a Thursday afternoon off or a Friday morning off or something for some reason, people were in from out of town, you could say, oh, there's an amazing thing happening. There's a canal thing going on. There's this thing. There's a farmer's market. There's something. There's some cool, public event that everyone can get involved with going on this day. Let's go check it out.
Enough of you and encouraging fun.
Oh, you know what? I realized I found out this week that I'm suffering the effects of stress, so I'm trying to have more fun.
Yeah, no.
Apparently, this is apparent to everyone around me, and yet I'm the last to know. So I'm trying to figure out what the source of this stress is and deal with it. So that will be part of it. Part of it will be just kicking back at this block party tabling.
While standing the entire time.
The same book that pointed out to a friend of mine that I'm suffering from stress also pointed out that apparently people who do a lot of activist tabling say you should always stand rather than sit while you're tabling.
The same book, huh?
It's the same book. This is a great book.
Self-destructive behavior 101.
You actually need to find a book that will help your friend realize that they're just redirecting their stress on you so you can go back.
It was the weirdest thing. We were having dinner, and I was like, oh, I'm reading this great book. And she's like, let me look at it. And she's flipping through it, and she says, look at this. And there was just a regular sort of checklist of, like, so you're suffering from stress in there. Just the kind of thing you'd see in Cosmo or some doctor's office or whatever. And she was like, oh, you know, you're suffering from, like, look at all the symptoms that you're suffering from. And I was like, you know, I don't know. First reaction is, like, I'm not the kind of guy who suffers from stress. I'm not the kind of guy who answers yes to things on checklists. But, in fact, I think it's so. To explain a lot.
You should not be diagnosing, you know, mental disorders via checklist, Mike.
I'm not.
Just so you know.
I'm just, you know.
Just don't start self-medicating, like, because of a checklist.
Oh, I think that this...
Unless it was, like, a bestseller on Amazon, then go ahead.
That's stress. It is. I'm kidding you not. All right. Do you guys have anything especially good or bad to say?
One more thing.
What is it?
Tuesday is the beginning of school bus season. School opens on Tuesday.
Are you kidding me? Traffic.
Are you going back to driving now that it's the end of the summer?
Yeah, at some point I'll wander back into that venue.
Right. You know, I don't think we've ever plugged your cab stuff on this podcast. We should do that whenever you go back to driving.
We should get you a special line so people can call you direct for cab fare instead of going through dispatchers, and we can do like a little bit of self-promotion here on the show.
Yeah. Jeff, you should go into livery.
Yeah, that's where all the money seems to be now.
Is that right? Well, guys, thanks for coming in. It was really great of you to come in and talk about this Beatles stuff. It's, I don't know. Sometimes it seems like there's nothing but bad news in Worcester.
Well, one thing that's actually really impressive is the City of Worcester website has more good Beatle information on it. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know what happened.
I'm definitely going to link to that. Actually, there's a nice PowerPoint on there, which... I agree with Edward Tufte about the cognitive style of PowerPoint, but I have to say this PowerPoint actually has a lot of good information, and people should look at this if they just want to know like actual bare facts about this rather than who said what at some public meeting.
Yeah, there is a lot of information. I'll post a bunch of links. I've found all kinds of great information on it.
All right, guys. Well, take care, and I will talk to you next week.
Rock on.
Thank you.